Assalamu alaikum, and good to see you. I'm in Topkapi Palace in Istanbul. I've been waiting to come here for several weeks. As many of you know, this is for my new YouTube travel show, and I'm glad to see all of you. Thank you for being here. Before I came here, I've been researching for several weeks so that I could tell you a couple of very important stories. This palace, which has been here now for over 700 years, for almost 500 straight years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there has been a brother here reciting the words of our Quran, the words of our holy book, the words of our Prophet, peace be upon him. And so I am so grateful that you can hear him now. Let me show him to you. And then there are several very, very important things that I have to show you. I am, as you've seen me, I've been crying already on my YouTube channel. I will try to hold my emotions together, but there's some beautiful and important things that I have to show you today. People have come here from all over the world. We're in a part of the palace that is for holy relics. And these relics have been here for generations and generations, dozens of generations. Remember, at one time, Istanbul used to be Constantinople, and Istanbul was really the capital of the world. These sultans who lived here, they were the most powerful leaders in the world. And so they collected holy relics from Islam from all over the world, from the Kaaba, from throughout Mecca and Medina, relics that others had collected. And the Islamic relics here have all been verified. But let me take you in and show you around, okay? So I just want you to be able to see our brother who is reciting. Grateful for him. So I'm really here. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, good to see you. How are you? Oh, let me show you. He asked me for my YouTube channel. Hold on. Let me show you. So that's my name. We don't have much of a connection here, but if you search it, you'll see my, when you get outside, you'll see it, okay? And I've been doing historic videos from throughout Istanbul, okay? Yeah, assalamu alaikum. Good to see you. Good to see you, young man. So we're going inside here. I could give you a tour for 2 hours at some of the things that are here. Two things I'm about to show you very quickly are really seen as two of the most sacred items here, but it's not what I'm going to feature today. You can't even get to these items. Inside of that gold case, and this is encased in glass, and inside of that was a cardigan, a sweater worn by our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It's inside of that. This is something that has been, you know, verified and passed down from the generations. Perhaps the most sacred item here, even this is not what I came here to show you, this is the holy standard of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And for hundreds of years, the sultans, the Ottoman sultans, inside of that case is like a mantle or a standard that they could unfold. It's seen as like too sacred for you to even see it. And for hundreds of years, they would not even touch it. They would put a cloth on top of it, the cloth that's inside of this case, they would put a cloth on top of it once a year and just kiss the cloth on top of the cloth. But this was a standard, that a mantle that was taken into battle by our Prophet, peace be upon him. It's seen as one of the most sacred items here, and that's why it's untouchable, even unseeable. But there are so many things that I hope one day, you know, one day, inshallah, you will get to see. But there are things here that I want to show you today that have everything to do with why I'm here. Let me tell you a story while nobody's paying attention to me. After 9/11, which was a painful, horrible day for the United States, after 9/11, Muslims in the United States and even all around the world, I was not a Muslim, and this is not me passing judgment on the Muslims of that day 23 years ago. But 23 years ago, Muslims so badly wanted the world to know, no, we are a people of peace, that something in retrospect, and I'm only repeating the words of scholars and teachers who've mentored me and have taught me, something painful happened to convince the world that Muslims were harmless, that we will cause you no harm, we are of no danger. In a lot of ways, when we started telling the story of our Prophet, peace be upon him, we stripped away 3/4 of his humanity. In a lot of ways, we wanted people to see our Prophet, peace be upon him, and the companions and the Sahaba. We wanted people to not fear them. So we stripped away their courage. We stripped away the fact that they fought for what they believed in. Alhamdulillah. They stood their ground. They would fight even to the death for Islam, to grow it, to defend the people that they loved and cared about. And after 9/11, to get people to think, don't worry, we are harmless. We stripped away so much of the 360 degrees of humanity from our Prophet, peace be upon him, and from those men and women around him, that we stopped telling the whole story. And there's some things I want to show you that I think are very relevant for where we are today. As you know, as I record this, it's the end of July, and we are 9 months into a genocide in Gaza. And you may have heard me say from the floor of the Hagia Sophia Mosque that the words in the hadith of our Prophet, peace be upon him, where he said, when you see injustice, confront it with your hands. And if you fail to confront it with your hands, then confront it with your tongue. And if you fail to confront it with your tongue, then use your heart, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, which is the weakest of all of these. Are we confronting the injustice with our hands? Let me show you what I want you to see here. In this case here are two swords and a staff. At the bottom is a sword of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, here at the bottom. Above that is another sword of our Prophet, peace be upon him. Some of the decorations and things on the casing have been added later, but this was a sword that was in his hand. Above that is a bow from a bow and arrow that belonged to our Prophet, peace be upon him. So listen to me. I just take a moment and see them. Here are sandals that were once on the feet of our Prophet, peace be upon him. There are footprints on there that belong to him. I just want you to see it and understand it. Here are, at the top is the bow from the bow and arrow, and a beautiful casing that's been made more recently. A sword belonging to our Prophet, peace be upon him. And another sword belonging to our Prophet with multiple sandals that were on his feet. And so listen, when in the hadith where our Prophet says, when you see injustice, confront it with your hand. What was in his hand? What was Hold on, my wife wants to say hello. You want to be on the video? Hold on. Hello. I'm just saying this is going to be on YouTube now. You have anything to say?
No.
No? Okay. Are you just making a cameo?
No, I was waiting for you, and then I started to kind of fall asleep where I was sitting.
Okay.
And I decided to get up and walk around and look, and I was just passing by through, and I was like, I know that voice.
Yes, it is me in the middle of my video, but we're fine. You're the most beautiful part of the video so far. You're so colorful and wonderful.
Oh my God.
No. Okay, so I'm gonna go back to what I was doing. Okay, so. You know, when we share this hadith, the words of our prophet who says, when you see injustice confronted with your hands, I don't think he meant to slap somebody. Our prophet, peace be upon him, had a bow and arrow. Our prophet, peace be upon him, had swords. Do you understand? And after 9/11, I understand. I'm nothing but sympathetic. Our sisters and brothers in Islam, particularly in the United States, did not want people to be in danger. They wanted people to be safe. And so they stripped the justice away from our prophet. They stripped the courage away from our prophet, peace be upon him. They stripped the bravery, the integrity to confront injustice with his hand. Listen, I want you to see it one more time because there's so many more swords that I want to show you. That have moved me. I've been studying these swords now for several weeks. Let me show it one more time before I move on. Again, at the top that's the bow for the bow and arrow, and then two swords and their case there. I've spoken to scholars and. You know, to say what here has been confirmed and authenticated, it says, Sean, the swords are real. These swords belong to our prophet, peace be upon him. They are authentic. Sean, these swords are sacred. They've been authenticated by scholars of the day and have been double and triple authenticated by scholars of this day. Somebody wanted to say hello. So, in this room are some more items that I've been so excited to show you and stories that I've been wanting to tell you. And so I'm going to show you, but I'm looking at more swords here. These swords are, no one here has more swords in the Topkapi Palace than a man who may have been the greatest warrior in the history of earth. Khalid bin Walid. May Allah be pleased with him. These are swords of Khalid's. These cases have been renovated and decorated over time, but that sword is of Khalid. This sword is of Khalid. That sword is of Khalid. To give you an idea, there was one battle where Khalid went through 20 swords in one battle. This was what he did. As you may know, this was a man whose family fought against our prophet, peace be upon him. And it was often seeing the integrity of Muslims in battle that softened the heart of Khalid, that eventually led him to Islam. And right away, he was needed to become a warrior for Islam. Never to his dying day did Khalid bin Walid ever lose a single battle. In fact, there are multiple war scholars, even American war scholars, who say he may be the single most impressive warrior in general in the history of the world for what he did. And so, honey, okay, she wants you. Okay, what do you want to say?
Didn't you see a list that ranked?
Yes, I saw a list. Yes.
That was really
This is I'm not used to co-hosting these videos, but I have a co-host who just wants to add additional color to it.
No, well, yes. Here's the thing. If I have to listen to you talk about these things 24/7, then of course I'm going to have things to add. And when you told me that, yes. I was surprised.
I was surprised that what she's saying is multiple war scholars, many who even teach in American military institutes, had lists of the top warriors throughout history. Multiple put Khalid number one on their list. And so, this is what our faith comes from. You know, that when we talk about even what does it mean to fight for what you believe in, these men and women, I've learned of, I don't see any swords of them, but there were women who literally fought with swords side by side with our Prophet, peace be upon him. And so let me show you more of the swords here. Before we leave, let me show you one more time these three swords of Khalid bin Walid. May Allah be pleased with him. Do you know what he was called? His name was the Sword of Allah. And let me say, almost anything I know about Islam, I learned from Sheikh Omar Suleiman. Anything truthful I say came from him, and any mistake I made comes from me. So, you know, of course, a warrior wants to, prefers to die in battle. And when Khalid was sick, this was one of the strongest men you would ever see. When he was ill unto death, he felt ashamed because he said, how could it be that I have scar tissue on every inch of my body, wounds from head to toe, and I'm gonna die like an animal in my bed? And you know, what was said to Khalid bin Walid, may Allah be pleased with him, was, brother, you are the sword of Allah. Allah will never have you lose in battle. You will go to Jannah having never lost a battle, and the sword of Allah could never lose. And so those swords of Khalid, they inspire me. Again, when we say, when you see injustice, stop it with your hand. What are we talking about here? Do you understand me? Let me show you some more swords here. You see our sisters and brothers that are excited to see them. This massive sword here is, I can hardly do justice to the size and scale of it, belonged to Omar. May Allah be pleased with him. This massive sword here belonged to Omar. This sword on top belonged to Ali. Maybe the largest sword here belonged to Uthman. And this is a sword of my hero, of Abu Bakr, one of the greatest men to ever walk this earth. So a sword here of Abu Bakr, of Uthman, of Ali, and a sword from Omar. And some of these cases are actually the original cases that have just been decorated on the outside. Just powerful, powerful to see it. Hold on, about to see my wife. Hello again.
My
son. Yes. All right.
Hey, I want to make sure that I don't know if you plan on talking about this, but there's some items of Fatima's, may Allah be pleased with her, over there, including that dress.
Oh, okay.
And a piece of her tomb that I thought were really amazing.
Okay, I'll go through there now, okay? So, this is in the final room of what I want to show you. Everything in here is amazing. Let me see you again. There we are. A lot of the kids here are curious what I'm filming and what I'm talking about. Let me show you a few final things, and then I'll show you some just beautiful, beautiful relics that are here. I want you to see, I've been studying these swords here for a while, We have here another sword of Khalid Ben Walid. We have here a sword, a massive, massive sword of Jafar. May Allah be pleased with him. Another sword of Omar, a sword of Zayn. And so we see, again, why do I want to show you these swords? Let me say something. I want to be very particular for a moment, okay? Let me just come off here to the side. You know, I spoke at a conference here in Istanbul, and I said there is another hadith that I shared. I've been trying to study the words of our Prophet, peace be upon him, and you know, our Prophet was speaking to the Sahaba, speaking to his companions, and he said something so painful that me and many scholars much smarter than me, many teachers much smarter than me, much more wise than me, we believe it's a prophecy about us today. And that prophecy, our Prophet, peace be upon him, he tells the companions, he says, there is going to be a time where the nations of the world gather together and feast on Muslims like hungry people at a dinner table. And you have to understand, these were men and women that had fought for everything they believed in, that had died, that had lost their loved ones in battle. And it's like, hold on. You know, oh Prophet. And what they said is, oh Prophet, are we going to be so little in number? Are there going to be so few of us? There were between 150 and 200,000 Muslims at the time. So saying, are we going to be so few that the nations of the world could gather around us and feast on us like hungry people at a table? And our Prophet, peace be upon him, said, no. No, not at all. In fact, we will outnumber the number of bubbles in the foam in the ocean. And he said, we will be like foam in the ocean. Be so many of us. Now there are almost 2 billion Muslims in the world today. And he said, but there will be something called wan in your heart. When I saw that, it said wan in your heart. I wondered, what is wan? It's funny because as soon as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, there will be wan in your heart, someone said, oh Prophet, what is wan? He said, weakness. There'll be weakness in your heart. And he said, you will fear death and love this life so much that the nations can gather around you and eat you for dinner. And so we're in this place of people that did not have wan in their heart. They did not have weakness in their heart. And I just say to you, are you comfortable, sisters and brothers? Are you comfortable with being the foam of the ocean? I'll say to you what I said to our sisters and brothers here in Istanbul. I do not believe that Allah called me to Islam to be foam in the ocean. And if I am foam in the ocean right now, if there is wan in my heart right now, if there is a fear of death and a love of this world in my heart right now, may Allah take that from us. May we act with bravery and courage and dignity and integrity. May we confront injustice with our hands, not just with our words, not just with our heart, but may we do as Khalid bin Walid, the sword of Allah, did. May we do as our Prophet, peace be upon him, did. May we do as Abu Bakr did. May we do as Ali did and confront injustice with our hands. Do you understand me? Are you comfortable being the foam of the ocean? I know you're not. Do you? Because here's what I know. Eventually, the story does not end there. Eventually, Muslims rise up with courage. Eventually, the Ummah gets organized. And what we have to say is, will we be that generation, or will it be our children? Or will it be our children's children, or their children? Will it be 10 generations from now, or will it be me and you? Will we be 2 billion bubbles in the foam in the ocean? Or will we rise up and confront injustice with our hands? Let me show you just some last things as I go. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for staying with me here. I wish I had all of this to myself, but that wouldn't be fair to anybody. And so I want to show you just a few last relics that are so gorgeous and beautiful. There are turbans from the day. This is a turban from the time of our Prophet, peace be upon him. This turban right here belonged to the Caliph Ali. May Allah be pleased with him. It's beautiful, beautiful. These are things that have been verified. This is, let me show you something very special that my wife wanted you to see. This was the bride veil of Fatima. May Allah be pleased with her. Sisters and brothers, these were real people. This is not our imagination. This is the bridal veil of Fatima. This is the turban of Ali. May Allah be pleased with them both. Do you see this? Like we're seeing, this is real life. This is true. Thanks be to Allah that our brothers from hundreds and hundreds of years ago thought to preserve these items. This is inside of this is a fragment of a coat that belonged to Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This here is a chest, like a treasure chest that belonged to our Prophet, peace be upon him, his daughter Fatima, right here. This is, this was a coat that belonged to Fatima that's been preserved over all of these years, for 1400 years. This was a panel, an original panel from the tomb of Fatima that was brought here. So just, I want you to see this. You know. And as I get ready to close, again, forgive me. I know it's crowded. I hope you can hear me well. I'm already interrupting people's private space in some ways, but there's just so many beautiful things here. Before we go, just one more time, I want you to see these swords, okay? And brothers, I have you on my mind, but sisters, these swords are for you too. I told you there were women that fought side by side with our Prophet, peace be upon him. We should tell these stories. We come from warriors. We come from fighters. Do you understand me? We come from brave men and women. Let me show you. So, again, there's a sword of Khalid bin Walid, a sword of Zubair, a sword of Jafar. Forgive me as a new Muslim for not being able to pronounce their whole names. Another sword of Omar. So, sisters and brothers, I have to go. We have a full day ahead. There's some other beautiful things that I want to show you later today, but our time in Istanbul is coming to a close as well. And you'll walk outside with me, okay? It's hot. It's very hot here today. Walking outside here to get some fresh air and to finish up. And it's been a beautiful time for us in Istanbul. I've grown in my faith and knowledge, and I'm just grateful to Allah that we had this time. I just want to finish saying that we are Muslims for a purpose. We are Muslims for a reason. There are we are not just Muslims to be good Americans. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not just Muslims to be, listen, Allah wants us to be successful in the world, but you're not just a Muslim to be successful at what you do. We're supposed to fight for each other, stand up for each other. And I'm moved by these relics because what has survived are items that remind us that our Prophet, peace be upon him, and all the men and women that he surrounded himself with, they were warriors, they were fighters, they were strong. And had they not been, there would be no Islam today. We are here as Muslims, 2 billion strong, because they fought for it. Had they not, it would have come and gone. And so we have to ask ourselves, what are we fighting for? How are we fighting for it? And are we willing to honor the words of our Prophet, peace be upon him, to use our hands? Are we willing to go beyond being the foam of the ocean? Love you, appreciate you. I'm grateful for the time, but there's so many more things. Later today, I'm meeting a dear brother of mine, Muhammad Alul, who was evacuated here from Gaza. And we may film something together, but I'm really just looking forward to seeing him. As always, Gaza is on my mind, but not just Gaza. I'm thinking about our sisters and brothers facing oppression all over the world, including in the United States, including Kashmiris, including Uyghurs, including our sisters and brothers in Sudan, in Congo, and everywhere around the world. And so let's continue to stand up against injustice every way we can. Assalamu alaikum. See you again next time. Take care. Inshallah.